from deep inside your radio.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to propose, in addition to our steadily growing list, at least I hope you're keeping a list, of insupportable, or at least vastly irritating, journalistic cliches. And, of course, I use the word journalism as loosely as the news media do these days. Add to terrible tragedy, that's one of my favorites, as opposed to all the wonderful tragedies we won't be covering today. Here's the latest on this terrible tragedy. My favorite this week has to be the shock, the absolute disbelief with which anchors and field reporters alike regarded the possibility that the big wildfire in Colorado was started by a fire person, firefighter. Unbelievable. A stunning irony. This fire may have been... Every year, I'm not kidding. I mean, I live in fire country, but every year, at least one major fire in the West, I believe, I'm going to stand by this one, is started by a firefighter. Now, that is in no way, and Senator, in no way to negate the wonderful heroism of our firefighters. But there is just a little tiny, you know, percentage of them that have this hero complex, and it's explained every year. They trot out the requisite shrinks to say, "There's a hero complex among the fire." And yet, this week, despite all of that, stunning irony, disbelief, absolute shock and horror. So there you go. You have to do that. It is obligatory in the quotes here, journalism, unquote, profession today to profess shock and horror when something utterly predictable occurs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to say that we've made progress in Washington, at least. I pointed out to you last week that the current reigning cliche in our nation's capital is connect the dots, referring to the inability of the FBI and the CIA to use the shreds of information that apparently came to them before September 11th to put together a predictive model for what was to come. This week, in the wake of a leak, they're all leaks. Anything you read in the paper that's worth anything is a leak. In the wake of the leak that the NSA, the National Security Agency, the Big Ear, heard on September 10th in Arabic, tomorrow is D-Day, or H-Hour, whatever, however they put it, in Arabic. You know, who knows? But, of course, they translated it on September 12th. Not that that would have... Anyway, the discussion is now joined about the wisdom, or lack thereof, of the new Homeland Security Department, the cabinet-level department that includes neither the CIA, nor the FBI, nor the NSA. And Senator Joseph Lieberman took us a big step forward today on the Sunday Yak shows when he said the job is to put all the dots on the same table. Then they can be connected. I think we're making progress. Hello, welcome to the show.
Heart with an arrow through the middle of a name that looks like Joe. The young girl's looking at the makeup in the mirror and puts a little gold ring on her toe. I gotta say 1, 2, 3 more things before I go on. There's a sharp-dressed man playing something on the fiddle in the backyard right next door. And everybody's mother's cooking something in the kitchen, got dishes stacked, ceiling to floor. I gotta say 1, 2, 3 more things before I go on. You can't run, try to hide away. Here it comes another day. A red
bed, Mr. Crow's a little Mexican tune on the chain link fence by the gate. Somebody's daddy's out there honking on the horn. Hurry up, we're gonna make him late. I gotta say one, two, three more things before I go on. You can't run, try to hide away. Here it comes, here comes another day. If you're long down that highway, no matter where you are, you never really fall. Good morning, I slide. Big fat park with an arrow through the middle of this place that I call home. When I get lost and don't even got a nickel, there's a piece of dirt I call my own. I gotta say one, two, three more things before I go on. You can run and try to hide away. Here it comes, here comes another day. We'll be right back.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to I welcome you to no other but this edition of Le Show on this particular occasion, because welcoming you to another edition would be, you know, be as surprising as fires started by... You know what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense's financial facts have become public. He made it last year, I believe, about $759,000, about $759,000, roughly speaking, in deferred compensation from five companies on whose boards of directors he used to serve. No, not Enron. Most of that money, $538,000, was from Sears, where he also retains, dig this perk, a lifetime merchandise discount. That's right. Donald Rumsfeld doesn't have to pay the normal Sears price for tires or clothing. That is the softer side of Sears. I'm sure of it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the apology of the week.
We're so sorry.
This is this was so predictable. This is as predictable as the fire thing. This is Ted Turner apologizing for what he said last week. You can write this story. CNN founder Ted Turner, under pressure from Jewish groups and supporters, withdrew his earlier assessment that Israel and Palestine were both involved in terrorism. Israel and Palestinians, excuse me. There is no Palestine. Quote, I believe the Israeli government has used excessive force to defend itself, but that is not the same as intentionally targeting and killing civilians with suicide bombers, Turner said in a statement issued by CNN. Earlier, the London's Guardian newspaper published an April 16th interview in which Turner made the comments, along with, in the newspaper, a warning of possible repercussions for CNN, which he has nothing to do with anymore. I mean, he's on the board of, he's a vice chairman of AOL. Big deal. That means he gets to go to Montana and watch his buffalo. CNN has frequently been accused of bias by Israelis, although some Palestinians have also decried it as the Zionist news network. CNN earlier issued a statement saying Turner spoke for himself during the interview. Aren't the Israelis and the Palestinians both terrorizing each other? Turner was quoted as saying. That's a rhetorical question. He's apologizing for a rhetorical question. Turner also drew fire from Tom DeLay. Tom the Exterminator DeLay. They call him the Hammer in Washington, but I like to remember his earlier occupation before he got elected to Congress. The Exterminator. He says, Turner's thoughts on the Middle East are the rant of a man with a defective moral compass, says Tom DeLay. I guess he can fix your compass, too. More this week about the replies from the Bush White House to the General Accounting Office's final report on the extent or lack thereof of vandalism by the departing Clintonistas. There were not 30 to 64 computer keyboards with missing or damaged W keys in specific rooms, says the Bush reply. There were 58 to 70. The GAO was wrong to say that 10 to 11 doorknobs were missing. In fact, the White House said 11 to 13 doorknobs were missing. The GAO got it wrong again in saying there were 9 or 10 missing remote controls. According to the White House, there were reports of 10 to 11 missing remote controls. The head of the White House effort to reply to the General Accounting Office is Bush counsel Alberto R. Gonzalez, a Supreme Court hopeful, who began his 80-page White House response to the GAO's report with a 2-page letter devoted almost entirely to arguing that the agency should include a dirty word in its report. Quote, we believe it is vital to include the substance of specific graffiti. To the extent that this specific message is especially offensive or vulgar, it may be more relevant to the inquiry. So, ladies and gentlemen, for your file of figures, there were not 30 to 64 computer keyboards with missing or damaged W keys. There were 58 to 70. The range is like, doesn't narrow the range at all, just moves it. That's cute. That's cute. But our text this week, really, I think, can be found here in the dining section of the New York Times, a very long piece about the opening of Britney Spears' first restaurant. That's right. She got so tired of being good at music She's now opening her first restaurant. Of course, you know, she's out on tour. So the partners say Miss Spears played a role in putting together the menu, but conceded that she hasn't tasted anything on it. She's been busy touring, said one of her partners. She hasn't tasted, but her manager and I have. She tasted it by osmosis through her manager, unquote. Attempts to interview Miss Spears were unsuccessful, even through her manager, by osmosis. So she tasted the food at her new restaurant by osmosis through her manager. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the text for today's broadcast. But let's get scared now, can we please? It's Sunday. The news media would like to scare us. So here we go. These are two good ones. This is from the Observer in London, which does like to scare us. Unraveling the human genome has given scientists an unexpected headache. Mutant mouse overload. Attention, Hollywood screenwriters. Pay close attention. They've discovered their animal containment buildings and cages could soon be overrun by hundreds of thousands of new strains of genetically engineered rodents needed to make sense of data generated by the Human Genome Project. Tens of millions of mice could be involved in this research initiative over the next two or three decades. After years in which scientists have managed to make serious reductions in experimental mice numbers. It's a nightmare, admitted one of the world's leading BSE researchers. That's, I guess, the precursor to mad cow disease. Dr. Adrian Aguzzi of Zurich University. Lab mice cost a great deal of money to feed, house, and look after, and the problem is getting bigger every day. Won't you help? No, he didn't say that. Last year, scientists on both sides of the Atlantic revealed they had sequenced all the genes in the human genome, hailed as a milestone that would soon lead to the development of new vaccines, drugs, and treatments. What was overlooked was the time and effort and number of mice spliced with human genes required to turn raw data into practical science. Discovering all the genes that make up a human being was just the beginning, says Dr. Steve Brown. We now need to find out how each of these genes operate, what proteins they make, how they can trigger diseases, how they interact with other genes. That will take us the rest of the century. And a lot of mice. You need thousands of mice just to research cystic fibrosis and to test various treatments for the condition. The genetic arithmetic indicates that at least 30,000 strains of mice and thus hundreds of thousands of individual mice will be needed to unravel the behavior of every single human gene. The figure will be closer to 150,000 strains, representing more than a million mutant mice, because individual genes usually come in different varieties or mutations. Nor will it be possible to substitute test tube alternatives to animal experiments, says Werner Mueller of Germany's National Center for Biotechnological Research. I study immune systems. There is simply no substitute for testing an animal during research. Each mouse in a laboratory costs about $3 a week to feed and keep warm. As the current issue of Nature magazine says, the problem has become a logistical nightmare that is reaching a crisis point. Mutant mouse overload. Only in theaters. I can see it. And another in the veritable wave of stories coming out about radiation from cell phones. This one says, causes changes in the brain which could pose risks to health, according to an authoritative two-year study. In groundbreaking research on the effects of radiation on the brain, which has for the first time used human cells rather than rats, scientists found that even low-level emissions from handsets, that's the phone itself, affects cells. They believe the changes could disable a safety barrier in the body, which is meant to protect the brain from harmful substances in the blood. The blood. Scientists call for further research. Of course they do. The study, conducted in Finland, found that the world capital of cell phone usage. Wonder why? Oh, Nokia's headquarters there, isn't that right? Found that exposing human cells to 1 hour of cell phone radiation triggered a response which normally only occurs when cells are being damaged. This led the cells which make up blood vessel walls to shrink, allowing tiny molecules to pass through into brain tissue. So Professor Darius Lazinski, who will present the research at a conference in Canada this month, said he could confirm that radiation from cell phones does affect the delicate makeup of human cells. All right. We hear it. You know, science is an evolving thing. So it's evolving. Here's one. You probably already heard this, but we love it. Watching a movie or TV program with strong sexual watching a movie or TV program with strong sexual references interferes with people's ability to remember the commercials in such programs, according to new research. In the first study to empirically measure whether sexually explicit programming helps or detracts from advertisers' messages, researchers found people watching shows packed with sexual innuendo, performers with revealing clothes, or sexual scenes were much less likely to remember the ads both right after the show and a day later. It was seen among adults of all ages, among men and women, and among those who liked the program and those who did not. If advertisers find out the most popular programs make the ads less successful, it will revolutionize the TV business, said Jonathan Friedman, a social psychologist at the University of Toronto. This is in the Journal of Applied Psychology. Similar findings have been reported for violent programs. The researchers say their work could show advertisers and programmers that sex and violence, in fact, do not sell. Perhaps most tellingly, the impact on memory was seen in people between ages 18 and 25, a group that advertisers covet as malleable consumers and that programmers try to attract with risque shows. The simplest explanation, said the researcher, is that people who watch a sexual program are thinking about sex instead of thinking about the ads. From the well-duh department, ladies and gentlemen. And now, slightly more informative. Let me read the trades to you. Or to you by osmosis through your manager. Updating our information about TiVo and what it wants to do to your hard drive if you let it. From Advertising Age, TiVo inks packs for long-form TV ads. I will read it for you. TiVo, the commercial zapping personal TV service that sends chills down the spines of Madison Avenue executives, is quietly luring marketers to experiment with extended form ads and promotions. The aim is to get viewers to actually choose to view ad content by making it as compelling as the programming. Sony Pictures debuts this week what TiVo refers to as showcases of unique content to its 420,000 subscribers. Showcases which offer at least 10 minutes give advertisers the ability to create content packages that go well beyond a 30-second TV spot. Doesn't say whether you choose to record it or whether TiVo chooses to record it for you, as it already has in England. Sony Pictures is offering a 90-second trailer for the movie Mr. Deeds and starring comedian Adam Sandler and three different movie excerpts for a total of 10 minutes. We want to learn ways to exploit the personal video recorder and find compelling applications for our advertisers, said Mitch Oscar, director of Media Futures for Universal McCann Agency. Mitch Oscar, ladies and gentlemen. There are no losers when Mitch Oscar's in the room. And as Steven Spielberg's latest feature, Minority Report, hits theaters this weekend, moviegoers will encounter a startling example of the latest intersection of Hollywood and Madison Avenue. Along with headliner Tom Cruise, the film stars a number of fictional futuristic ads that the actors interact with, and 20th century brand names front and center. Just as video game makers have recognized the verisimilitude real-world brands can bring to their alternate worlds, Mr. Spielberg looked to brands such as Nokia, Toyota Motor Sales, U.S. Lexus, Pepsi, Guinness, Reebok, and American Express to lend veracity to his futuristic story. And advertisers hope the unusual prominence in the movie storyline will gain them some eyeballs they wouldn't get anywhere else. Two of those advertisers, Nokia and Lexus, are full-time movie tie-in sponsors who spent about $5 million to $7 million each to promote the tie-in. In one key scene, Mr. Cruise's character runs for a subway trying to make his getaway. In this world, ads can recognize names and faces. In the space of just 45 seconds, a barrage of interactive billboards call out the name of his character in an effort to sell him their products. Bonnie Curtis, producer on Minority Report, said it was Spielberg's intention to use real advertisers. "Steven wants you to feel like you're on planet Earth," she said. A spokeswoman denied that Nokia is spending $5 to $7 million to tie into the movie. She wouldn't reveal other details. I just say put mutant mice in charge of the media and have done with it. A cynical conclusion that we're driven to, ladies and gentlemen, when I read the trades for you. It's a copyrighted feature, isn't it? Yes, it is. Another copyrighted feature is next.
Direct from the virtual training floor of Corium Slocum Oliver, this is Mind Your Own Business. I'm Mike Tuccinello on the training floor. This week, polls indicated that the public was starting to have less confidence in American businessmen than in pedophile priests. Adding to the scandals swirling around Enron, Global Crossing, Tyco, and Adelphia Communications, Martha Stewart was suspected of keeping her stock accounts neater than her doily drawer. Insider trading is what the feds call it. But savvy investors can see that what was inventive and aggressive in the 1990s is being redefined as deceptive and criminal in the decade that doesn't even have a nickname yet. Meanwhile, the markets continued their three-week ride to the post-9/11 basement, while in the wake of the government's settlement with Merrill Lynch, the value of analysis offered to customers of the marquee brokerage firms was sinking lower than a starlet's bra on Oscar night. In this turbulent climate, our guest today attempts to quiet the rising storm, to buffer the buffeting winds, and to quell the regulatory climate from getting even more regulatory. He's the Vice President of Public Liaison for the Free Enterprise Institute, Clayton Belding. Clayton, welcome to the trading floor.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's good to be somewhere where they're not shooting at me. I'm being metaphorical, of course. I could go to Afghanistan and really get shot at.
But you're not going to.
I am not, sir.
Clayton, your organization is the more aggressive lobbying counterpart to the Chamber of Commerce, isn't it?
Yes, Mike. Our slogan is taking care of business, mm-hmm. but we mean that in the old-fashioned way. We think American business is getting a bad rap from the bad apples that are filling one very bad barrel, while the rest of the apples get tarred with the brush of that barrel, and we're fighting that with every quiver in our bow.
In what way?
Well, we're going public with a very big advertising campaign. You're going to see it on CNN, all the news channels, the Sunday news programs, on Nightline, and on the op-ed pages of major newspapers.
These are the media the opinion leaders consume.
That's correct. And we just tell our story that for every Rite Aid, where the three chief executive officers of the company are accused of outright fraud and deception, uh-huh. there's a Walgreens, where the worst thing that happens is pilferage from the petty cash drawer.
Uh-huh. But why not just ride out the storm, let the bad apples take their punishment, mm-hmm. and assume that the American people will, as they did in the 90s, view business folks as heroic and forward-looking?
Mike, there was a little thing called 9/11. America has its heroes, and they're, well, honestly, they're not sitting in corner offices pulling in $50 million in stock options.
Uh-huh.
We have to go beyond the caricature of what is real to a caricature of the ideal, our vision of a land where opportunity doesn't automatically lead to a jail term. And that means telling the story of people who, for one reason or another, whether it's strong moral fiber or just a fear of pushing the envelope to the breaking point, just don't think that their business is an excuse to plunder their employees, stockholders, and the general public.
Well, who are these people you're spotlighting?
You tell me. That's why I'm taking time out from my public relations blitz to appear on programs like this, Mike, to ask for help in locating such what we call angels in the executive suite. You know, we know they're out there somewhere. and we want them to come forward so we can tell their stories in deafening and mind-numbing repetition. We're basically making an appeal to the reason and the common sense of the average American slack-jawed idiot.
Well, that's an amazingly frank characterization, Clayton. Aren't you afraid it might turn the public even further against business and businessmen and, of course, businesswomen?
Well, let's not drag the women into this, Mike. No self-respecting company. Let them anywhere near the money.
Uh-huh.
But, Newell, this is a time for candor, for honesty. You know, we go around the world to Asia, to Latin America, preaching free enterprise and transparency is the keys to progress. If we can't be utterly honest about our contempt for the targets of our message, we're the biggest hypocrites of all, Mike.
Clayton, what are the stakes in all this, besides the fee you're paying for appearing on this broadcast, of course?
Of course. Mike, the world invests in America. If international traders lose confidence in the honesty and transparency of the American economy, we're going to be in this recession until one of the Bush daughters is president. So, yes, the stakes are high, but at the Free Enterprise Institute, we think we've got a great message. Our business community is still a whole lot cleaner than anything in the Philippines, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we're determined to get the word out there, except perhaps for the Philippines.
Where they might be sensitive.
Where, in fact, they are.
Clayton Belding, good luck in carrying the message of American business out from behind the prison bars of media hype.
Thanks, Mike. You're welcome at our big pro-am out at White Sulphur Springs in September.
Oh, I'll be there. And that's Mind Your Own Business for this week. Next time, former day traders sue for unemployment coverage, and at least one court says, you gotta be kidding. Until then, from the trading floor of Corium Slocum Oliver, I'm Mike Tuccinello saying, this week, mind the business of someone you love. So long.
Saiu, deixou um agente tão igual e diferente. Falava e todo mundo entendia. Os homens se perguntaram por que não desembarcaram em São Paulo, em Brasília ou em Natal. Vieram pedir socorro, pois quem mora lá no morro vive perto do espaço sideral. Pois em toda a Via Láctea não existe um só planeta igual a esse daqui. A galáxia tá em guerra, paz só existe na Terra. A paz começou aqui. Sete artes e dez mandamentos só tem aqui. Cinco sentidos, terra, mar, firmamento só tem aqui. Essa coisa de riso e de festa só tem aqui. Bate com ziriguidum, 2001 só tem aqui. A nave estremeceu, subiu de novo, deixou um rastro de luz no meio-dia. Entrou de volta nas trevas, foi buscar futuras levas pra conhecer o amor e a alegria. A nave quando desceu, desceu no cheia de ET vestido de orixá. Vieram pedir socorro e se derem vez ao morro, todo o universo vai sambar.
pois em toda a Via Láctea não existe um só planeta igual a esse daqui. A galáxia tá em guerra, paz só existe na Terra, a paz começou aqui. Sete artes e dez mandamentos, cinco sentidos, terra, mar, firmamento. Essa coisa de rios e de festa bate com ziriguidum, 2001, só tem aqui. Vai sambar, 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 vai sambar.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the other big journalistic cliche put on display for this week was anniversary coverage. We got a big snootful of it with the 30th anniversary of Watergate, and timed also coincidentally with that event was the appearance of a book, an e-book, if you please, by John Dean, which at first purported to say who Deep Throat was and then backed off and said, well, no, there are these five possible suspects. We talked about this a little bit last week. And a class at a university, after 3 years of work, came up with the conclusion that Deep Throat was, in fact, Pat Buchanan, former and probably future presidential candidate Pat Buchanan. But the most interesting news of all that came out on the occasion of the anniversary coverage was the report, I believe in the Washington Post, that there are major new efforts underway to use advanced digital technology to try to find out what was on the 18-and-a-half-minute gap, the part of a Watergate tape that had been erased by apparently by Rosemary Woods, President Nixon's private secretary. So these are all issues that were thrown up in the air during the flurry of anniversary coverage and then have settled back down to earth. Although there was this week the release of a new and apparently contemporaneous tape by the Nixon Posthumous Materials Project, tape from Nixon in Heaven.
You get to Heaven, they tell you, paperless office, this paperless office, that. Still can't find anything in this damn car. All of it?
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
All of it?
Just shredding some prayer requests from my relatives.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep. Have to adhere to the schedule or it gets away from you.
Just like dental hygiene, really.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
What is?
Maintaining shredding discipline. You know, even here.
Oh. Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. You know, if these goody-goodies even knew you had a shredder up here, it'd probably, I don't know.
Sure, convert it into an ice cream maker or something.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, probably. So, look, where's that book Dean wrote that was supposed to come out?
30th anniversary of the...
Yep.
The thing?
Look, you can say Watergate in front of me, Haldeman.
Well...
I can hack it.
Well, the book only came out online, on the internet.
Yeah. So it's not a real book. You can hold in your hands or burn or whatever.
No.
Uh-huh.
Well, and besides, he never names Throat.
He doesn't.
No. Mm-hmm. He boils it down to five names, mm-hmm. and then he
cuts out.
Mm-hmm.
Just bugs out.
Yeah.
Always a little coward, wasn't he?
Well, of course.
Yeah. So. So after you buy and read the damn book, you can reuse it? That the idea?
How do you mean?
Erase the pages. Some such thing.
There are no pages.
Yeah, I see, that's smart. Yeah. At least little coward is getting smart. No pages means, of course, it's harder to track.
Yep, there's that. But I don't think we have to worry about Dean.
Well, I mean, we said that before, remember?
No, I just mean...
He wouldn't dare squeal because we could smear his wife. And
no,
then,
I know.
And then where would he be, you know?
Yeah, right, but, right. It's just that... If he doesn't know who Throat is by now, with a book deal on the line, he's never...
Well, now, of course, from what I hear, you see, it's not even a real book deal.
No, that's true.
So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's just...
So, if we wanted to buy all the books up and destroy them, you know, or whatever...
Whatever, yeah.
We would have to buy...
Just the one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Just saying other anniversary-related events are more potentially ominous, maybe more deserving of robust response procedure.
Yeah, because these days, you know, firebombing Dean's office...
I don't think we have to.
I mean, that would be, piece of cake.
The research stuff is more of a problem.
These days, you just blame it on some Middle Eastern, everybody goes...
But this university class says it's proved that, that Buchanan is Throat.
Pat Buchanan, the speechwriter,
yeah.
The one we kept on just to drive the Jew Sapphire crazy.
Pat Buchanan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've examined all the books and the transcripts and so forth.
Yeah. The tapes. There's nothing on the tapes about it.
No.
All right. So look, this is an easy one. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're up here, right? I mean, let's at least use the resources, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
You appear before him in a vision.
Before who?
Goddamn Buchanan! Don't make me swear in here.
No,
I'm sure they're taping. You appear before him in a vision, and you just frighten the holy hell out of him, you know? It's just, and now I'm going to ask you one question, and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. Legs would be like jelly.
Oh, you bet, you know? No, these... He's a true believer. Yeah. He's always the most surprised to find out all this stuff is real.
Yeah.
But then we just pump him for everything he can tell us about Woodward and Bernstein, And then we just blow those two little pieces of crap right out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Don't think we're approved for it.
Yeah. Approved for what?
Don't think we're authorized for vision deals.
Yeah. According to whom? Wasn't Hoover supposed to take care of that? I mean, what the hell's the point of being up here if you don't have the perks?
Yeah.
You see?
No, I know.
No,
I know.
I mean, we threw Mitchell over the side.
Yeah.
All right. He's going to get in here easily.
Sure.
We gave him Pat.
We gave him Ehrlichman.
Oh, that was an easy one. Yeah, he could burn in hell for all I care.
Well, that's what we told
him. So, yes, the weather's better so far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we jumped through all these hoops to get in up here.
No, I know.
And we can't even do one simple appearance in a vision?
No. Look, I'll do my best to...
I mean...
Check the paperwork.
You know, I mean, it's just not right. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm not complaining.
No.
No. I mean, you know, listen. They can run their damn paradise any way they want.
That's right.
You
know? That's right.
I mean, of course. That's their privilege.
I think that the gap research could...
The what?
The research on the 18 and a half minute...
The 18 and a half minute whatever.
Right.
Who's doing what now?
Research to see if they can digitally reconstruct what was on the tape before it...
accidentally erased itself.
Yeah.
No. We still good with that, accidentally erased?
Well, that becomes problematic if they can restore the erased material.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the damn point of erasing it if you can restore it? Didn't anybody bring that up at the time?
Before the accidental erasure.
Damn right. I mean, what the hell kind of a ship were we running there anyway? I mean, restore the erasers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, were we really that stupid?
I think the technology has improved so much since then.
See, here's the thing. Not one member of senior staff pushed for best available technology on any accidental erasure.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, really water over the bridge now.
Sure. Water under the dam type thing.
Yep.
Could get one of our people over at Navy to fly one of their big magnets over wherever the tape is stored, you know? Mm-hmm. You can do that. I mean, just, you know, just wipes the thing clean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But low-flying Navy magnet plane, sure to attract undue attention in the currents.
Could be an evildoer.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'd scramble a fighter squadron, there'd be...
No, no, you're right. Be a bad scene.
Mm.
All right. Just work on making those visions happen, all right?
Well, I'll talk to the people in records, see if we've got an approval.
Just get the damn approval, all right?
Yep, will do.
All right. Because I'd love to appear to Tricia and Julie, you know? Yeah. Tell them to stop fighting over the money.
Huh? That would scare the schlitz out of them.
Huh? Should have done it Dean's way.
Hmm?
Make a tape. But there's no tape.
Yeah. I'm right on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we focus on new powers for the FBI, a new book reveals a 22-year effort by FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to get Albert Einstein arrested as a Soviet spy. Uncovered FBI files are revealed in a book by Fred Jerome, who says, "It was a clash of cultures. Einstein's challenge and change with Hoover's order and obedience." From the time Einstein arrived in the United States in 1933 until his death in 1955, his phone was tapped, his mail was opened, and even his trash was searched. Al, get a shredder. The Einstein file begins with a request by J. Edgar Hoover in 1950. Quote, "Please furnish a report as to the nature of any derogatory information contained in any file your bureau may have on the following person: Albert Einstein." Hoover was worried about Einstein's liberal intellectualism and his dabbling in politics. Also about his mutant mice. I didn't actually read that information. I just got it by osmosis from my manager. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer around the world, wherever you are, whenever you want it, at two locations, www.harryshearer.com or www.kcrw.com. It's your choice, because it's a free country. And it would be just like hearing the show by osmosis, through your manager, if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. You know better about than to include any attachments, don't you? Of course you do. And Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.